715 Newsmakers, Chippewa Valley Triage, a series of conversations about healthcare at a crossroads in the Chippewa Valley. A public service provided by the stations of Midwest Family Eau Claire.
Chippewa Valley Triage is part of 715's Newsmakers. Representative Karen Hurd is with us, and we're going to talk about, obviously, all the things that have been on top of mind for us with the closure of HSHS hospitals in Eau Claire and in Chippewa Falls, and Prevea Health closing down as well, much earlier than expected. I'm going to start right there because that's the news that came down most recently. The fact that that's moved up a little bit, and I know there's been a lot of talk back and forth about the whole 90 days thing and how they're, because they are a nonprofit organization, they're under some different rules than others might be under. It still is very concerning that this came all very fast and furious, that equipment was being removed, some jobs were being eliminated well before the time schedule kind of arrived.
Right, and there's been an exodus of staff members. I was called by HSHS on Monday morning, and they wanted to say that they would be making a press release at noon that day, and that they were going to say that they're moving up the closing till March the 22nd. And so I said, and the reason, and they said, because of the exodus of staff. Because they don't have, they're already leaving because they know there's another month coming, or a month and a half until it's, or almost a month and a half. And so they don't have the staff to already do it. So they said, we have to go ahead and close early. And that was shocking to us too. I mean, everybody saw that come out too. We were just as shocked as at the initial way back in January, you know, when they said, whoa, we're going to be closing in, you know, 3 months. And so this was very difficult. And as legislators, we didn't get any more notice. Basically, I got an hour and a half notice as a legislator before they made the public announcement. And then on Monday, I got a whole 2 hours notice before they made the public announcement.
So, yeah, and you want to be able to share this information and the concerns of your constituents, the people you're trying to serve. And this has been an interesting one because I've had a good opportunity, and I am so thankful to the leaders we have that have been able to come to talk to us and share some very frank discussions. And I'm going to tell you, this is one of those topics that's very interesting, because to a person, both sides of the aisle, all sides of the aisles, I'll put it that way, rank and file, is all coming down kind of in the same place. There's different ways to solve this. There's different philosophies that are out there. However, I think everybody has acknowledged this is a crisis. This needs our attention, but we have to do it carefully so we don't make things worse.
Exactly. When this happened, I saw it as a crisis, not in comparison to the Maui fire, you know, that happened out there, but I certainly saw it as an East Palestine train wreck, you know, where they had the chemical spill. It is that big, because this is affecting, well, the number of people that are losing their jobs, then, but most importantly, are the patients. Where are they going to go? And especially concerning is the emergency care. So if you are septic, you may only have 15 minutes. And so what if you're delayed 11 minutes because you had to drive further to get to an emergency room before that we can, you know, do whatever is necessary to save your life? This is what's scary. And then when we have the mental health piece of this, when you look at the detox unit that we lost, you know, it's, detoxes can be fatal. You can't just say, oh, I'm going to go off a drug and, you know, I know I'll be uncomfortable. It can kill you. And so that all has to be monitored and done. And so all that is, that's already gone now. They've already closed, you know, that center. So it's,
the solutions are not as easy as throw money at it. Because there's for one, there's not enough money to possibly do that. This is going to have to be something that we have to kind of take a piece at a time and solve at a time. You think things, and this is more of looking at the bigger picture and saying, had this been an opportunity to piecemeal this, might we have been able to see better outcomes rather than kind of an all or nothing deal? Either HSHS sells to someone and the whole kit and caboodle, for lack of a better term, all goes in one direction. Or if they might have been able to separate some of that, we might have been able to see some things remain open through the course of this.
Now, that is certainly a thought. I mean, you know, now I'm not on the inside of HSHS what happened, but it would just seem common sense. Okay, if we can't do it all, can we, you know, farm out, you know, just this, you know, the mental health piece? or can we, or the maternal care, or you know, whatever piece you wanted to take, and then we'll just focus on our emergency room services. Or you would think that something like that would happen. And so the transparency, you know, as we discussed just a few moments ago before we went on the air, is that the transparency and the communication is so important. And everybody that was involved, I'm sure, at that corporate level at HSHS, they knew this was coming down the pipe for some time. I mean, this wasn't a surprise to them, and they had an hour and a half notice. It was something that they are thinking about, but nobody else knew anything about, so we couldn't help come up with solutions that we can't as a community pull together. Now we're pulling together. Now we have to. I mean, we're in a crisis, but it would have been nice to have some notice.
Right. You're right. We're forced into that decision. We don't really have much of a choice. Now there's some very good people, by the way. There's a lot of good people from the task force to other leaders to other individuals that are getting very engaged, very involved. I had to spend some time at one of the hospitals here, not me personally, but we had a family member, and I was kind of looking in on them and whatever, and a thing occurred to me. It was walking down the hall, the things you don't often think of. And one of the things that occurred to me, too, was it was like one more wave that hit me that I didn't fully consider before. When you're talking hospitals, the other issue is this, too. Think of the number of people, the number of corporations, but individuals as well, that have many times donated their life's savings to a hospital. They have dedicated their estate to a hospital. And now, to what end? Do they say, was that gift squandered? What happened? Where did it go? That was my life work to do all this. It's painful in so many differing degrees. The point I'm bringing up, Representative Hurd, is that we're kind of processing through some of the grief pieces of this.
Yes.
I think you're starting, and some of the work that you have been doing and will continue to do with your colleagues in the legislature, is you're starting to pull the pieces together to say it's clearly not enough for us to grieve. We have to do. We have to. What is that we have to do? We have to sort it out and take it piece by piece.
Yes, and that's exactly what we're doing. You know, and that is, I never even thought about what you just brought up, but the donations that people have given, and that's incredible. But, you know, I've had support companies contact me, too, as a legislator, and say, what are we going to do? Because Sacred Heart, St. Joe's, they bought our products, you know, and so they're losing a lot of market, too. So it's not just those 1,400 jobs, you know, that were at those hospitals and clinics. It's also all the support agencies that are out there. They're going to be affected. And then, you know, I drive through my district all the time, and so I represent Augusta. And as I drive through Augusta, it is signs everywhere. Save our clinic. It's a Purveya clinic.
Of course.
And it's closing. And when you live in Augusta is a long trip into Eau Claire. And so they have done everything at their local clinic. I mean, that's their doctor. That's where everything happens. As I drive through, and I'm thinking, save our local clinic. And it's like, how are we going to save your local clinic? I mean, what things are we going to put in place? And so we do have a lot of, there's so many moving parts to this. There are so many moving parts, you know.
Next week on 715's Newsmakers, is part of Chippewa Valley Triage, more of our conversation with Representative Karen Hurd about the healthcare crisis here in the Chippewa Valley. 715's Newsmakers on the stations of Midwest Family Eau Claire. Midwest Family Eau Claire has been a longtime partner with Rock Onsen, which is a totally unique thing for Wisconsin, which is the neatest thing, because this is a garage band competition for 7th through 12th graders, and it all kind of wraps up at the big gig at Milwaukee Summerfest. And wow, talk about playing on a big stage. That is definitely the way to do it. The founder, the organizer of this, Dennis Graham, is with us once again. This is an exciting time of year, Dennis. I know for you and your team, because this is an opportunity, especially at the grassroots, ground level part of this. You get to see these terrific young bands, young musicians, singers, and guitarists and piano players and everything else come together to create these very unique sounds of all kinds of genres.
Oh, yeah, John. And first of all, I want to thank you and 715 Newsmakers, Midwest Family Broadcasting group up there, all those stations that are supporting us. Very much appreciated. Yes, it is. It's very exciting. We're right into it now with the band application period. Always free to apply. to Rockonson, and we want the 7th to 12th grade Wisconsin, they're already trying to get in from other states, so only 7th to 12th grade Wisconsin garage bands of any genre, musical genre, and we want them to go to rockonson.org, rockonson.org. You also can check us out at Rockonson, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. We want these young bands, John, to send in one song. It can be cover or original. They often wonder, does it have to be? Nope, cover or original, one song on video. Just use your smartphone, and then we want you to send that to rockonson.org. The application period opened on March 1, and it closes on April 30th. And what are they looking to do? They're looking to hopefully be one of the top 10 bands scored out by three music industry judges with over 20 years experience in the industry to be having the opportunity to play, as you said, Summerfest, the big gig, the world's largest music festival. 20-minute sets, showcases for each of the 10 bands, five on June 28th at the Aurora Pavilion stage, and five more on June 29th on the Aurora Pavilion stage.
This is such a springboard for a lot of these bands, too, these young people that are they're starting off. And, you know, they started, in many cases, and that's why it's fun, it's a garage band. They started as, this was a fun thing they were going to do. They were going to kind of noodle some things together. And then they started realizing, hey, you know, we actually are pretty good at this. We've got some talent, and we're learning a little bit more. And this can be a bounce board for them to play other gigs once they say, that, especially for the finalists. But even if you've entered in this and been through this process, it's very helpful to all these bands.
Yes, it is. And, you know, it's really all about opportunity, encouragement, and promoting. And, you know, you have a lot up there in the Eau Claire Chippewa Falls in your backyard, a lot of talent. There was a very talented band that came out of there in 2022 from Chippewa Falls High School, an eight-piece brass band playing pop and rock. Conrad and the Comrades, just a very talented group, knocked it out of the park when they played at the Rockonson State Finals at Summerfest. But you're absolutely right. What we're seeing is young bands that decide, hey, this is what I want to do, and I'll give you one example. There's a band out there that's making a big push coming up called Slow Pulp. They were made up of two bands about 10 years ago. One was Modern Mod from Madison East High School. The other was Sleeping in the Stereo from Madison West High School. They came together. They're now down in Chicago as Slow Pulp. They just finished doing a tour this last fall, opening for Death Cab for Cutie in Europe, playing Royal Albert Hall and all these other places, big venues. So, yes, and there's a number of other bands that have used, as you said, it's a springboard to, you know, get off into starting their own career in the music.
Not to mention the stage experience that comes with this. I mean, when you get the opportunity to play a big gig like the stages at Summerfest, which is the world's largest music festival, and when you get an opportunity to go and do that, that just builds on confidence and helps to create your show. You know, for so many of these performers, performers is kind of stretching it a bit. They're band members; they haven't yet really moved into the performance stage yet. This helps them to do that, to get in front of people. And many of them, of course, are already performing with a lot of their high school groups, whether it's choir or band or orchestra, but this is kind of a side hustle for them that gives them an opportunity to get very involved. And I love the fact that whether it's big band, whether it's country, folk, indie, heavy metal, whatever you might be into, this certainly works. All these genres, are at play.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's youth garage bands rocking Wisconsin, and the top 10 bands. And you're right, all musical genres we've had. We had our first heavy metal band, Sacrament, from Muskego High School, won it in 2022. But, you know, each of these bands of the top 10 that will be announced then that make it to Summerfest or the Rockonson State Finals, they will, all of them, and again, this is free. There's never any cost to it. You are going to have to put some gas in the tank to drive to Summerfest. But this is free. And again, we want these young bands of any musical genre to go to rockonson.org before April 30th to send in their one song, cover original. Just use a smartphone to shoot it. But each of the 10 bands that make it that we announce on May 15th for the state finals will win two Shure mics, one vocal, one instrument mic with cord. The winning band then wins an additional wireless Shure vocal microphone. And then the winning and runner-up band received recording time at Madison's Blast House Studios. And then the winner and runner-up band win a second 45-minute set again, where we have our state finals, are June 28th and 29th on the Aurora Pavilion stage. The winner and runner-up will each get a 45-minute set, showcase set, on July 6th, again at Summerfest, on the Aurora Pavilion stage on July 6th. So it's a great opportunity for them to really show their love of performing and getting in the spotlight.
Rock Hudson is something that is unique to Wisconsin. You might be thinking, well, certainly every state in the union probably does this same kind of thing. No, they don't actually. This is something that happens uniquely in Wisconsin, which is a really cool thing.
Yes, it is. We're the only statewide garage band competition in the nation. And again, this is for just 7th to 12th grade garage bands of any musical genre. I've been producing now the statewide garage band competition for 20 years, and I've had hundreds of bands come through. It's just it's a blast because there's just so much energy, so much positivity to it, and the talent is beyond the pale. I mean, I'm longer in the tooth here, and I saw a lot of one-hit wonders of the late 60s, early 70s. I'll tell you, some of these bands are as talented is some of those one-hit wonders. And again, and I see that they're still touring around or playing up there. Conrad and the Comrades, that came out of in 2022, Chippewa Falls High School, is a very, very talented young band, and they just had a knockout show.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought them up because that's one of the bands that I could think of. But there's others out there, and it's so fun for me when I'm paging through, for instance, Volume One magazine, or I'm looking around and I'm seeing what's going on out in the community, and I'm thinking, yeah, they did well at Rock Hudson, and now they're getting gigs all over the area. They're playing great venues. They're sometimes, an opening act at one of the festivals. All those kinds of things. That's fantastic. That's what we love to see. And we've had people from Eau Claire Memorial, and we've had people from Eau Claire Messiah Lutheran getting involved in this, and Chi High, and all throughout the area that they can engage. And beyond just, we're talking Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls here, but beyond that, the outlying areas, whether it's Thorpe or Menominee or Stanley or Thorpe or wherever. We know there's garage bands out there too. Come on, go to rockhudson.org and make your application. It's easy, and it's easy to do, quick enough to do, and you're just doing one song, right? You just have to do one song on video. Yeah, easy enough.
I put it on your smartphone, and it's free.
Right. It's free, and it's what a great opportunity for you and your band members, and, kind of move. It's a great way to move your band forward, and that's exactly what Rock Hudson is all about. Dennis, as always, great time to talk with you. We'll talk again some more as we get a little closer to everything, the big gig, and especially when we start finding out about some of the finalists. That's always the exciting part for me, is when I get a chance to see that list, and I jump in the air and kind of scream Yahoo when I see some people from our area that are, some bands that have made it through. I was very excited when Conrad made it through to the finals in the band. I thought that's fantastic. That is good for them. There's so much talent. You hit it right on the head. There is so much talent in this area. Now let's put it on display with Rock Hudson. This is the 715's Newsmakers on the Stations of Midwest Family Eau Claire. I'm John Murphy. 715's Newsmakers on the Stations of Midwest Family Eau Claire. I'm John Murphy. Karen Jacobson, museum educator, and Angela Allred, program manager from Chippewa Valley Museum. They're here. We're going to talk about all the fun that happens during summer with the summer programs, and we might also talk a little bit about teen guides as well. So we might do a little mix and match here, or maybe in a future episode we might talk about that as well. Let's start with the wonderful summer programs that come up for our kids around the Chippewa Valley, and even extending beyond that, that come into the area to take part in these special programs. And Karen, maybe you could start us in. This is something that will happen. Normally it's a morning type thing on what, Tuesdays and Wednesdays?
Yeah, so this summer we're mixing things up a little bit. We're going to feature classes on Wednesday afternoons and also Tuesday afternoons.
Oh, got it.
Repeated on Wednesday mornings. And so we have about 4 weeks' worth of content that we're excited to share. Art Adventures, History Hide and Seek, All Afloat, Sunnyview, Shindig are some of the titles of our classes. And they'll run from week one in June 26th and go all the way till July 24th.
This is also an opportunity, in addition to these classes, it's a great way to expose these kids to the museum and the magic things that happen at this museum at the Chippewa Valley Museum to learn more about their community. It also becomes very much an interactive sort of thing, right? They get to, not only are they being taught things, they get to ask questions and get engaged in what some of these topics are.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun and try to learn new things every summer. This year, we're going to have a special guest come in, Patricia Hawkinson. She's a wonderful local artist. A lot of folks know her work with Color Eau Claire. She has a brand new one called Color the Chippewa Valley, which is a junior edition.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to join us at the Paul Bunyan Camp, and we're going to have a tour there. She's going to help kids think about the artifacts and the architecture in a new way. We'll have a shadow silhouette tour with her. They'll get to do an art project and enjoy that part of our museum campus. We'll also have history hide and seek, which allows the kids to go behind the scenes. They really get to see how the museum works. So our design studio, our archive, they love to peek inside the vault, see the special treasures hiding there, and also go back into the collections and think about, how do we save the community's treasures? How do we take really good care of them? And what are some special things that we do so that they'll last for many, many, many generations, and their great, great, great grandkids can maybe come back and enjoy that part of the past, too, into the future.
What's so neat about all these things are they, many of them are universal, but also, at the same time, can be very specific to our area and some of the things, you know, not just every place, by the way, has a Wisconsin Logging Museum. Not just every place has one of those in the history of the Paul Bunyan Logging Camp and the fact that at one point we had a million white pines standing just right there. And then they took them down and off they went and the lumbering industry moved on. But it left a lot of things kind of in its wake after that. And we've learned from all of that. And then the kids can learn a little bit about that. And an illustrator such as Patricia Hawkinson, who is highly acclaimed, has a pretty good handle on all this. I think she's going to do a really good job with all of that. Let's move on to what's happening a little later on in July, and that is All Afloat, because if you live in and around Eau Claire, you know we call this place Eau Claire, Clearwater, for a reason, and we've got rivers that collide. There's a confluence in this area, so that's an important part of the lesson to learn.
So some exciting news, we have a brand new exhibit coming this summer called On the Water. So we're going to approach this class from the angle of river and water navigation in the Chippewa Valley. We'll go back to the days of the voyageurs and also canoe building that was happening in the Chippewa Valley around 400 years ago and earlier and since. We'll have a chance to look at steamboats. We'll think about all the different ways that people can travel on the water. And we'll also get a chance to try our hand at some knot tying skills, perhaps akin to having to drop anchor or secure a boat to shore, get a little practice with that. And the kids will also get to create their own boat that will really float.
Really float. Actual navigational boats. Very cool. It's going to be a lot of fun for them to do. And let's, as you kind of wrap things up later on in July, you have a wonderful spot out there, the Sunnyview, the one-room school, a schoolhouse, which is for generationally, so many of us, we'd have to talk to perhaps our great-grandparents to really get the full feeling of what one-room schools were all about. But especially in our rural areas, this was a magical place. More than just what happens on Little House on the Prairie and that kind of thing.
That's absolutely right. So Sunnyview was an actual one-room schoolhouse that operated from 1882 right up until 1961. So we'll have visitors come and tell us, you know, I had that experience as a child, or my parent or grandparents did. Sunnyview came to Carson Park in the 1960s, and it's been operated for visitors for tours and programs ever since. So this summer, we're going to invite summer scholars to come in and explore Sunnyview, have a little celebration. So we'll do some old-fashioned recess games. We have corn cob darts. We have hoop and sticks. We have stilts even that they can practice a little balancing on. We'll also have a game of marbles, and we will get to play them for keeps. And then a little bit with learning about what the kids who attended schools like that would have experienced too. So some of the stories of what was it like to be a student at Sunnyview or a school like that one. We'll even get to do a project where we'll practice our math skills making abacuses, and they'll be edible. So once we solve our math problems, we can eat the numbers.
Boy, that sounds tasty. That sounds delicious. It does. And you can learn along the way, as well as people are signing up and getting their kids engaged in these sorts of things. How do they go about that so their kids can participate in some of these activities at Chippewa Valley Museum?
Sure. One of the best ways is just to hop on our website, cvmuseum.com, and you can go up to our Learn and Teach tab, and then go to Kids Programs, and then you can pull it up from there. There's a handy registration button that will take you to how to sign up. You can even just call a museum who can help you through that process.
A fun, fun summer at Chippewa Valley Museum, and we'll talk more about this as we go on, as we get a little closer to the summer as well, about some of the fun things happening at Chippewa Valley Museum. This is the 715's Newsmakers. I'm John Murphy. Here on 715's Newsmakers, over the past several weeks here, we've had the opportunity to talk with Andrew Garr of WEMA, Wisconsin Milkweed Alliance, a little bit about the many programs that they offer at their facility and how you can get engaged with WEMA, as they like to refer to it. There's a lot of different options, and we'll get into some more of those as we conclude our conversation with Andrew Garr here on 715's Newsmakers.
And then I think another thing to bring up that I wanted to talk about this morning is our Kaleidoscope Peer Recovery Drop-In Center. And the beautiful thing about a Peer Recovery Drop-In Center, it's a communal hub. You don't have to have an appointment. You can stop down any time that the Kaleidoscope Center is open, and it just provides an array of peer support and recovery-focused programs and activities, really rooted in the sense of being person-centered, strength-based, and trauma-informed to facilitate that human and holistic wellness that we've been talking about all morning, you know, while also mentoring that sense of community. Sometimes folks feel like they're alone. You know, I know sometimes that I can feel like, even if I'm in a room full of people, sometimes I can feel incredibly alone. And sometimes by coming into the drop-in center, it allows folks just to have some connections. We offer several different groups for folks, our alternatives to suicide group, our art and creativity group. We have plans of starting a Dungeons and Dragons group for wellness. So we're really trying to think outside of the box to be able to bring folks into the center just to help, you know, deal with some of those different challenges that folks might be having.
It's the little things that nag at us, that grind at us, you know, day after day, everything from bullying to, like I said, anxiety to all the other things that go on, that sometimes it takes a while for those to surface and be talked about with somebody that's comfortable. Besides the warm line, what's a email or Facebook page? Where can people reach out to WEMA, Wisconsin Milkweed Alliance?
And then for more information or to donate to any of our programs, you can visit our website at www.milkweedalliance.org, or you can email us at info@milkweedalliance.org.
This is the 715 Newsmakers. I'm John Murphy.